All right, open your Bibles tonight to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. I was looking around here, and a lot of our folks are out this week. I trust they're on vacation away. A lot of our regular folks are not here today. I noticed it this morning and then really paid attention tonight. And so I'm sure that everybody's getting much deserved rest and so forth, but it's good that you're here tonight. And I'm going to preach something tonight that I don't know that I've ever thought of the text verse that I'm going to read in the light that I'm going to preach on it tonight. But I tried to get everything ready for today before I left, and did. But then had to do a little tweaking on this this afternoon. But I think I've got it where I want it. But it is a I don't know. You'll see when I get there. It's just, we're going to look at this verse. You know, the obvious. And we sometimes get so familiar with a verse or with a passage of Scripture that we overlook the obvious. Something that is just right there on the surface that can really be a blessing to your heart. And if you'll just stop and think about it. So verse 25 is the verse that I want to read to you tonight and preach from tonight. And it's a familiar verse of Scripture. You know it. You've heard it quoted. You've probably memorized it in Sunday school. And you've heard me quote it umpteen times through the years. It's just a familiar verse. The verse reads, "Wherefore he is," what's the next word?
Able.
He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. All right. Now stop for a minute and ask yourself. No, we know who him is. Why is he able to save anybody that will come? Why not just put a period right there? Right? But there's a comma right there. And I want to preach on that last little phrase. Because we will just blow through this and not stop and think about what we just read. Now let's start at the beginning. "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, comma." And here's something about the Lord Jesus that we all need to know. "Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." I want to speak to you tonight on this subject. Our intercessor. All right, let's pray together. Our Father, thank you so much for the Word of God. And as we open the Bible tonight and look at this verse of Scripture, I pray that you will just open our understanding of just who you are and what you're doing for us right now. And Lord, we're thankful that you saved us. And Lord, not only that you saved us, but that you saved us to the uttermost. We don't get a partial salvation. We get the full thing. Saved, forgiven, redeemed, justified, a home in heaven. Lord, we're so thankful for our salvation. And I pray you'll help us tonight as we look now at what you're doing for us right now at the right hand of the Father, praying for us, making intercession for us, praying for us. And Lord, help us tonight see that truth, and may it bless and encourage our hearts as we live the Christian life. Lord, may we be encouraged to know that there is somebody, and not just any old somebody, but the eternal Son of God who is praying for us. Oh, bless us, Lord. And I want to pray for these requests that are on our hearts. As I stand here and look around tonight, Father, I see gaps. And then to find out that some are in the hospital, and I pray that you will bless those folks. And Lord, we got word on Linda Reese's mother tonight over at Carroll Lutheran, and I pray that you will bless in that situation and comfort that family. And Lord, we pray for the Douglas family, so many needs. But Lord, as we think about all these needs that we have, we think about all the sickness, we think about all the death that impacts us on a weekly basis. Lord, help us to realize that we have a Savior who is interceding for us. May we get this tonight, and may it bless our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Back when I was sick, about a year and a half, 2 years ago, one of the most helpful things for me was to get the mail each day. I would wait for that mail truck. It has a distinct sound. And I could hear that little putter mobile coming down our subdivision, stopping at every mailbox, and then take off again. Is that me or is it something wrong? My light's not on. Am I good? Okay. I'll keep going. Y'all stop me if you want me to stop. Not going to guarantee I will, but you can try. And I would sit and listen for that mail truck. And as soon as I heard him coming, I would start down the hill. And many times I would get down there just as he was coming to the box. And he would smile. Of course, he knows that I'm the pastor at the Church of the Open Door. And so if I'd go down to get the mail, and he would see all those cards, and we just struck up a conversation one day and started talking about how I was sick, and that's why I was getting all these cards. And every day I would listen, and I would go down and get the mail, and I would take it up to the house, and I would find myself getting encouraged in heart and in soul as I read your cards that you sent me. There were anywhere from 20 to 50 cards every day. And that went on for weeks as I was out sick. And I would sit and read each one. I would read what Hallmark said, and then I would read what you said. And it always helped me. And I remember being so blessed by so many people telling me that they were praying for me to get well. The point is, folks, it's helpful to us when we know that people, that someone is praying for us. It helps. When we are in a great trial, when we are facing surgery and then after surgery and the healing process, when we lose a loved one, when we're overwhelmed with loneliness, I mean, just knowing that there are people who love us and who are praying for us, well, that's a great source of strength and encouragement to our hearts. You know, I've spoken through the years to many of our missionaries. And the missionaries have told me that the one thing that sustained them while they were on the field was knowing that folks back home were regularly and routinely bringing their name before the throne of grace. I've had so many of our missionaries that have emailed me and thanked me because we made them the missionary of the week, and their name was called out in Wednesday night prayer. I've had our military guys email me and say that just knowing that the Church of the Open Door was praying for them was what kept them strong and kept them able to press on during a time of being away from home and being away from their family. So prayer is helpful. It's good to know that somebody cares enough to pray for you. Now, the text that I just read for you tonight tells us that somebody else is praying for us. And that somebody else is our risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to look at the verse again. Look at it. Let me read it one more time. Just to make sure you've got it all clear in your mind. Wherefore, he, Christ, is able also to save them. That's anybody. That's anybody, regardless of who you are. He is able to save them. And not only save them, but save them to the uttermost. You don't get this one-tenth of salvation and then you have to reform before you get the rest of it. No, you get the whole package at one time. The Christian life is you finding out everything that you got the day you got saved. That's what the Christian life is. You got the whole package called salvation the day you got saved. And then the Christian life is you just going through each day, getting in the Bible and finding out that there are a bunch of presents inside that present called salvation. And you just keep opening presents, gifts from God that are a blessing to your heart. All right, so wherefore he, Christ, is able to save them, anybody, to the uttermost, we get the whole package, that come unto God by him, which, by the way, is the only way to come unto God. There is no other way to come. Jesus said that himself. Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Now, this verse tells us that the Lord Jesus is ever living to make intercession for us. Now, folks, think of that. I mean, just think of that. When the Lord Jesus Christ ascended back to heaven, he took a seat at the right hand of God the Father. And in that position of closeness, and in that position of authority, he prays for each and every one of us. That's what it says. Isn't that amazing? Now, this is not the only time the Bible tells us this. In Romans chapter 8 and in verse 34, Paul said, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Now, if you look up the word intercession, you're going to get about five definitions for it, and they all are connected to the matter of prayer. That's what an intercession means. It means to pray for. And so here Paul says in Romans 8:34 that Christ is risen again, seated at the right hand of God, and then Paul said, who also maketh intercession for us. And then the Apostle John, same thing, but just in a little different way, the Apostle John said in 1 John 2 and verse 1, my little children, these things write we unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Now, what's an advocate? An advocate is a go-between. An advocate is a mediator. An advocate is a lawyer, so to speak. If a man is arrested, or a woman is arrested, and they go to trial, they hire, or if they cannot afford to hire one, the state will provide one, a lawyer. And the person who is convicted of the crime does not, now he can or she can speak in their own defense, but they do not argue the case before the judge. The lawyer argues the case before the judge, the advocate. And so that is what John said the Lord Jesus is for us. He is one who pleads our case with the Father, the righteous judge. And the Lord Jesus is there in heaven right now at the Father's right hand, where he is interceding right now for his own. And if we could ever let it sink into our hearts and minds that we do indeed have the Lord Jesus praying for us, it would encourage us in a tremendous way. You might ask a friend to pray for you, and they might forget. You might ask me, Pastor, would you pray for me on Thursday? I've got such and such coming up. And I will stand there and tell you with the best of intentions, yes, I will pray for you. But then I'm liable to have 4,000 things hit me Wednesday night, and I might forget to pray for you on Thursday. But we have an intercessor who will never forget to pray for us. You might ask one of the staff to pray for you, and we might forget. But there is one in heaven who never forgets. He makes it a matter of supreme importance to intercede and pray on our behalf. We are constantly encompassed by the prayers of one in heaven who never, ever forgets. I mean, he just doesn't forget. And let's remember, the one that I'm talking about, the Lord Jesus, he has the ear of God the Father. That's pretty cool, isn't it? He has God's ear. And therefore, he is able to save to the uttermost. Now, there are a few things that I want to say. Just two things tonight I want to say. You understand where I'm going with this? All right. The first thing is this. Our intercessor. The first thing I want you to consider is this. His present ministry of intercessor, the one I'm talking about here, his present ministry started while he was on earth. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? His present ministry as our intercessor was not something new that he just started once he got back home to heaven. It was started while he was here. Now, this verse tells us that the Lord Jesus is in heaven right now interceding for us. But I want you to recall what you have read in the four Gospels about our wonderful Savior and the way that he often prayed while he was here. You see, when he was here, he was an interceding Savior. And there are so many examples of this that I could give you in the Gospels. It was just who he was. It's just what he did. It was the way he was. He was always praying for folks. For example, let me have you hold your place here and go back to the Gospel of Luke chapter 22 for just a second. So that you won't think I'm making all this up, let me read it to you and prove it. Luke chapter 22. All right, let's look at verse 24. It says, "And there was also a strife among them," them being the disciples, "which of them should be accounted the greatest? And he said unto them, The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is the greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. And I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Now watch this. "And the Lord said..." Now, why did he say this to Peter? And notice, he goes back and calls him Simon. He doesn't call him Peter, Rock. He takes him back and calls him his old name, Simon. Why I say this to Simon Peter? Because it was Peter who was arguing about who was going to be able to sit in the chief seats in the kingdom. And look at what he said. Look at what Jesus says. Verse 31. "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But..." Do you see it? "I have..." What? "Prayed for you. I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Isn't that something? You see, the Lord Jesus knew that the devil was after Peter. So he had already taken it upon himself to pray for Peter to be strong and not fall when the devil sought so hard to trip him up. Now, folks, listen. If he prayed that for the Apostle Peter when he was here 2,000 years ago, why should it be thought an incredible thing that he would continue that type of prayer ministry now in heaven for each and every one of us? That's what an intercessor does. And listen, if the devil wanted to sift Peter, don't you think the devil wants to sift you? Of course he does. I think it will be amazing when the day comes that we stand in heaven and we're able to see all the times we were on the edge of falling over some spiritual precipice, but we will then find out that it was an interceding Savior who prayed for us that moved the hand of God to reach out and to help us right in our time of need. We will be able to see that it was the loving hand of our God that came to our rescue because of the intercession of our risen Savior. I think we're all going to be surprised when we get to heaven. I remember one time years ago when I was in college, I went out with one of the teams, there was five of us in the vehicle, and we went down to Atlanta, and I preached that night, and we sang for the services and everything, and then I preached that night, and we were on our way back home, and we got, you know, went out to get something to eat after church, and so it was late. It was after 11 o'clock. And we were in one of the guys, one of the seniors' car. That thing was a bucket of bolts. I mean, we prayed the whole way down, Lord, please let this thing get to Atlanta. And then from Atlanta to Greenville, Lord, please let this thing get back to Greenville. Well, we were going down the road, and his gas gauge was broken. And I remember questioning, you don't have any gas in this thing. Because I was sitting in the back seat, and I look over his shoulder. I said, you don't have any gas in this thing. Oh, yeah, I got plenty of gas. Well, sure enough, don't you know, we got out in the middle of no man's land, South Carolina. And all of a sudden, patoom, 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 patoom. And we went down from 60 to zero, and he coasted off the road. And it was not 5 minutes later, this guy comes by, pulls over, and we're all standing outside the car like we knew what we were doing. We knew how to fix it. He pulls over. He says, you guys got a problem? And I said, somebody didn't get gas. And now we're stuck. And we're going to get in trouble because we have to be back at school at midnight. He said, I just happened to have a 5-gallon can in the back of my car. And he walked over and he poured that gasoline down the into that car. And we were able to get back. But now, here's what happened. About 10 minutes up the road, at a bridge, two tractor trailers were passing side by side on that bridge, and one of them got too close. And man, you talk about a mess. Nobody was killed in the accident. Both men were able to get out. But we didn't make it back to school till well after 4 o'clock that morning. But we had an excuse. So we were good. But I have often wondered, had we not run out of gas, where would we have been in that exchange? Have you ever had experiences like that? And I can't wait to get to heaven to find out just where my intercessor went to the Father on my behalf for my protection and my safety as the devil has tried to sift me. Selah. Think about it. Let me give you another example of our Lord being an intercessor. Do you remember when he was hanging on the cross? He uttered 7 sayings when he was on the cross. And if you remember, the very first one was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Isn't that something? The first thing that came out of his mouth on the cross was a prayer of intercession on behalf of a worthless bunch of people who were executing him. Wow. And folks, You got to remember, he prayed that after being kept awake all night, after being interrogated all night, tried illegally, after being beaten to where you could not even tell that he was a man when he was hanging on that cross. That's what Isaiah said about him. You see all these pictures? No, nothing like that at all. Isaiah said you couldn't even tell that that was a man nailed to that cross. They beat him so badly. Josephus said in his history books that the cat of nine tails, which they used on the Savior, nine straps of leather held by a grip in the hand. And at the end of those strips of leather, they would put glass or iron or some other sharp object and embed it into the tips of those leather straps. And they would take your hands and tie them up above your head so that your body cavity was exposed. And then 39 lashes. And they said, we won't give 40. No man can survive 40. So out of mercy, they only gave 39. And Josephus said that most people died in a pool of their own entrails, having endured that lashing. Folks, I'm telling you, when he was hanging on that cross, he was suffering pain that I dare say none of us know anything about. There may be a few exceptions. And yet, what does he do? He prays for us. That's amazing. That is absolutely amazing. I can, as I thought about, Father, forgive them. What's he saying? I think he's saying, Father, I know you are thinking there is no way you could ever forgive these people for what they're doing to me. But Father, forgive them. Forgive them. You see, he's able to save to the uttermost. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. And you can be sure that forgiveness followed. For whoever called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'll guarantee you, when we get to heaven, we're going to find out there were an awful lot of people standing there watching this. And when it was all said and done, they realized that he was who he claimed to be. They know not what they do. I wonder how many of us at any given moment know not what we're doing. I was driving to church tonight, and a fellow that I've been witnessing to, trying to get him to come to church. And, oh, I know I should come. I know I should be there. And I saw him throwing his golf clubs in the back of his car. I knew what I was preaching on the night, and as I drove by him, I waved real big, and I said, you know not what you're doing. This is the Lord's day. It ain't golfing day. This is the Lord's day. But how many of us know not what we're doing? How many times have we done something and then after seeing the ramifications of our sin, found ourselves saying, oh man, if I had only known. If I had only known. That is where we see remorse come into play. Remorse is the agony of conscience and those probing thoughts that hit us after an act is done. And it is in such times as these that, let me say it this way, it is even in times like these when we can look towards heaven's throne and see our Savior who ever lives to intercede on our behalf. And can you not hear him praying for you to the Father as he prayed for this crowd that crucified him? And the honest truth is, folks, so much of our sin is committed against God because we are foolish and spiritually ignorant as a people. Did you all see on the news? I know you did. I think I mentioned it on a Wednesday night before we left on vacation. Down in Austin, Texas, they had that abortion ban bill that the Senate and House down there was dealing with. And the people came, and on one side of the street were the anti-murder crowd. They were against abortion. Anti-murder crowd. And then on the other side of the street, with the police in between the two, on the other side of the street was the pro-murder crowd, the abortion crowd. And the anti-murder crowd, they were over here singing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And so, not to be outdone, the people on the other side, the pro-murder crowd, they started singing about how much they loved Satan. Did you not see that? And as I watched that, I just thought, oh, you foolish, ignorant, spiritually ignorant people. You know not what you do. How sad is that? I mean, it makes you wonder just how much of our own sin is committed out of simple ignorance. But what a comfort to know that we have a risen Savior who is seated at the right hand of the Father, who ever liveth to make intercession for us. I mean, even in our ignorance. Even in our ignorance. That's why John could say in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, He has already paid for those sins. And because He loves us, He will forgive us of our sin when we pray and ask Him to do so. That ought to encourage every heart. You say, well, Pastor, I'm just so out of fellowship with God. Yeah, but the good news is, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. Why? Because He ever liveth to make intercession for us. And I'll guarantee you right now, tonight, the Father is sitting there saying, yes, yes, son. And the Son says, Father, I want you to forgive. I want you to forgive. That old Holbrook guy. Lord, he ain't much, but I saved him. I mean, I saved his dirty, rotten soul. I redeemed him. Lord, forgive him. He's going to come to you after a while. He's going to ask you to forgive him. Sure, son. Anything for you. Anything for you. You with me on that? All right, second thing I want you to see, and really it's not a thing I want you to see, it's just I want you to think of how this, of all that this implies to us. What's this mean to us? That we have an intercessor. What's it mean? I want you to see from this that prayer is never an unimportant matter. It's never a waste of time. I mean, prayer is important. It shows, this verse shows us some very important things about God, about our Savior, about love, and about ourselves. Whenever someone prays for you, it means you're on their heart. It means you're on their heart. I mean, whenever a mother is praying for her prodigal son, it is a token that she loves that son with all of her heart. No matter how much she disapproves by her praying, that prayer is a token that she loves that son with all of her heart. No matter how much she disapproves of her son's wayward life, she will pray for him because she loves him. Love will never give up on him turning his life around. Never. She will pray even when his ways have driven a wedge into the relationship that has brought a horrible division to their fellowship. Whenever a father prays for his children, it is the reflection of a heart of love that is being poured out on those children. Love is reaching out to the throne of God and begging for the hand of God to do whatever it can to bless and lead the lives of those that father loves. So if our Lord is ever praying for us, it is telling us that he has not forgotten us, that he loves us. But not only that he has not forgotten us, but that he has not forgotten us because he loves us. But not only that, it tells us that he is eager to help us with all the things that we have to face in this old sinful world. Man, that's comforting, isn't it? I've said to you from this pulpit so many times that I'm thankful that when I got saved, God did not lick my back, throw me against the wall, and hope I stick. No, he loves me. He's my Savior. And the writer of Hebrews here said, he's praying for me. Wow. He must love me if he's praying for me. We're his children. And as his children, he loves us with a never dying love. Folks, don't you think it would be mockery if his prayers did not lead to action on his part? Don't you think it would be a mockery? I mean, unless we are willing to help the person we are praying for, our prayers are just vain and empty words. If one of my children came to me and said, Dad, would you pray about this matter for me? And as they explained the matter to me, if I had the answer for them, but yet I did not give them the answer, I just kept it to myself, that would be a terrible injustice that I would have committed against my child. And the point is, folks, you and I have a Savior who loves us. We have a Savior who understands us. We have a Savior who knows the feelings of our infirmities. He knows what it's like to be us. We have a Savior who has risen from the dead, who ever liveth to make intercession for us. And think of it, he is right now in heaven, at God's right hand, praying for you. Praying for you that as Satan desires to sift you as wheat, that your faith fail not. He is right now praying for you to stand strong this week. You don't know what you're going to have to face this week, but he does. And he is right now praying for you to stand strong with what's coming in your future. He is praying right now for you not to be offended and get your eyes off the Lord. He is praying right now for you to have an encouraged heart as you face this week. You see, folks, you and I don't know what we have to face this week, but he does. But the good news is, the good thing is, he has already interceded on your behalf. And I don't care who you are tonight, if you're saved, that ought to bless your heart. Thank God for our intercessor.